But let me ask first, who can remember when pop came, only came in bottles and you would get your deposit back?
Yes.
Who can remember when nobody owned a purebred dog? Yes. Dogs all free?
Yes.
Who can remember when coffee shops and restaurants had jute boxes? Juke boxes. Juke boxes. Who can remember when refrigerators were called the icebox and radios were called the wireless? Who can remember when you didn't wear seatbelts in the car and you slept in the area between the back seat and the back window? Who can remember when churches were never locked 24/7? Well, if you can remember these things, I got news for you. You're old. So don't look so sad. It's okay. Someone said old age is when you got it all together. You just can't remember where you put it. It's probably in a safe place. But let's continue with our lesson on Caleb. We spoke about him last week. He had it all together and he knew exactly where it was. At this point in the story, Joshua and the Israelites had conquered the promised land. Now, Joshua was distributing various plots of land to the different tribes and the families of Israel. And as they approached Joshua for their allotment, an old man made an unusual request. Joshua 14:6-8. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me? In Kadesh Barnea, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly," another version says, "I wholeheartedly followed the Lord, my God." Caleb recalls the time when 40 years previously, Moses sent him and Joshua and 10 other men to the promised land to spy it out. They all returned with glowing reports of how rich the land was. But 10 of the spies advised against going into the land as God had commanded. Why? Because they saw giants and big walled cities there, and they were convinced that the land was impenetrable. That they would all die if they tried to take it. And so the people disregarded God's command and stayed out. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, urged the people to trust the Lord and obey God's instruction, to obey God's command and directive to take the land, to enter the land and take it. God, they said, is bigger than any giant and stronger than any walled city. And with him by their side, they can prevail. Well, the people believed the majority report, disobeyed God, and turned away. As a result, you know, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was then that this disobedient generation died out. But let's fast forward 45 years. The Israelites had now survived the wilderness wandering. Joshua led them into the promised land, and as God promised them, they conquered it. And now, as a senior citizen, as a senior citizen, Caleb comes to Joshua and reminds him. Joshua 14, 9 to 12. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. And now, Caleb says, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israelite wandered in the wilderness. And now, yeah, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Caleb is saying, listen, man, Joshua, see this 85-year-old man? Give me the mountain. Give me the giants. Give me the fortified cities. Because God has promised me. And I want to be there when we get the victory. They are mine. Caleb asked Joshua for the toughest part of the land. The part where the Anakim dwell. The Anakim were the giants which scared the previous generation away. They lived in mountains, in heavily fortified cities. But you know what, friends? That didn't scare Caleb away. Caleb asked for their land. A bold request from an 85-year-old man. And how does Joshua respond? Verse 13 to 15. It's gone off here. I don't know if it's gone off here. Chapter 14, 13 to 15. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man of the Anakim. He was the biggest giant of all. The land had rest from war. Caleb was able to take Kiriath Arba, literally meaning the city of Arba, the city of the biggest giant ever. And he conquered the remaining enemy, and the war was over. Friends, most people talk about former conquest. Hey, remember when we used to do this? We did that. People always talk about former conquest, but Caleb took on new ones. He lived a full life until the end, friends. Listen, he lived a full life until the end. How about you and I? You know, one of the biggest cities in our province, biggest churches, I was watching and following some of the things they were putting on Facebook in South Africa. I'm talking about one of the biggest cities, the big city in our biggest city in our province, and the biggest church there. Dr. Basil Tryon is his name. Big church. They have conference after conference after conference, and they fly speakers in from all over. I was watching on Thursday, him talking, and 8:30 yesterday he died. 8:30 yesterday he died. Friends, when I look at him and I think about him, I kind of remember this. That right until the end, friends, he lived a full life for God. May we never quit. May we never retire from Jesus, friends. As long as we have breath in our lungs, that we fight the good fight, that we finish the race, that we keep the faith. Don't go get tired, friends. Don't say, I'm too old for this now. It breaks my heart to see when anyone quits serving God because they think they are all done, that they have served their time and now it's for others. I've actually heard people say, no, let the young ones do it. Friends, it blesses me when I see people continue to pour it on for Jesus. Until end of last year or so, we had a gentleman in the church. His name was Brother Bo Capitaniak. At 96, he was going every Sunday to preach at different churches. Right until he left Smoky Lake, he was trying to raise money for the printing press so that they could print the Bibles and distribute it to the people. He's in France now. He lives in France. Still busy for God. Friends, reminds me of George Mueller. He's my favorite, so I talk about him a lot. He lived from 1805 to 1898. He was an evangelist who, after several rejection of becoming a missionary, founded and directed Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol, England, where he cared for over 10,000 boys and girls. Truth is, by the time he reached 70, he accomplished more than 100 men would have in a lifetime combined. It is said that his work with orphans began with a small amount of money, 3 dishes, 28 plates, 3 basins, 1 jug, 3 salt stands, 1 grater, 4 knives, and 5 forks, and no building. And before it was all over, there were 5 buildings with 10,000 orphans who were being fed and housed and educated and provided employment for. And he never asked a soul for money. God provided it all, so much that he was able to give away nearly 2 million Bibles and hundreds of thousands of dollars to other people. His life was a testimony of God's greatness and provision. Do you know, at the age of 70, when others were considering retirement, he was looking for the next mountain to conquer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey? As a result, he followed the call of God into the world. And on his own, from the age of 70 to 91, he traveled over 200,000 miles before there were planes, aeroplanes. Visited 42 countries and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ over 6,000 times. At 91, you know what he said? I am very near the end of my earthly pilgrimage. Still, I am able to work every day and all day too. I preach 5 or 6 times a week. And besides, I'm unspeakably happy. Friends, don't be content to only celebrate past victories. I'll say that again. Don't be content to only celebrate past victories. By God's grace, pursue new ones. Take on the toughest challenges and enjoy the abundant life that God has for you. Another story quickly. A few years ago, the Anchorage Daily News reported that 2 Alaskan residents got into a tussle with a moose and lived to talk about it. They were Dorothea Taylor, 85 years old, and her husband George Taylor, 82 years old. They were taking their golden retrievers out for some fresh air when they spotted a moose. Dorothea was waiting in the truck to avoid the Alaskan sub-zero temperatures while her husband collected the dogs. That's when he noticed this massive animal. George says, he was way off. He spotted me and started to come right after me. So I was trying to get back to the truck, but I didn't make it. The moose caught George and began stomping on him in the snow. Fortunately, he's 5 foot tall, you say? 5 foot tall wife grabbed a shovel from the truck and attacked the moose, taking swing after swing at the animal. She told the Daily News, when it turned and started to go off, I hit it with everything I had. Finally, the moose ran away. Dorothea made it out of the fight unscathed. But her husband had 7 broken ribs and a 6-inch cut on his forehead. She said, well, we've helped each other out of problems before. This just happened to be the latest. I love this woman's attitude. At 85, she doesn't run away from the battle of life. She faces it head on. Sad to say, friends, some people have given up. Please, whatever your age, don't you dare give up on life. Instead, take on the toughest challenges and dare to live a full life right up to the end. I hope and pray one day when I go to heaven, it'll be from here, where I'm standing. Won't that be lovely? Right to the end. Bang. Friends, how can we have a full life no matter our age? Well, we do what Caleb did. We do what Caleb did. One, follow the Lord fully. Follow the Lord fully. Holy, how you say?
Holy.
Wholeheartedly, fully submit yourself to accomplishing God's will and purpose for your life. God has called us not only to enter Canaan, as it were, but also to occupy the mountains of Canaan.
Yes, amen.
Hey? He hasn't called us to dwell in the valley of depression and despair and discouragement. He's called us to the mountaintop of victory. Amen?
Amen.
I've been talking about this because we are facing a new year. And I started off with all the sad sack predictions. And it's so easy to give up, to quit, to throw in the towel, to say, leave it for the others. When Caleb is saying, hey, I'm 85, bring it on, man. Did you see our text three times? Joshua 14 says about Caleb. Caleb started by saying this about himself. But I fully followed the Lord my God. Then Moses said of Caleb, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And then Joshua said of Caleb, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Do you see that, friends? He said this about himself. Moses said about that. And Joshua said that about him. The same thing. This fellow's wholehearted. He's all in.
Yeah.
He's going strong right until the end. Caleb had given himself completely to God. Friends, half-hearted faith. Let me say this again. Although I'm talking to the walls now. Half-hearted faith will never do. Caleb had completely followed his God. Are we following God wholeheartedly, friends? Or are we determined by what's happening around us? Oh, look at the news. Oh, I thought, oh no. Come on, man. Total commitment is required if we are to live and have mountaintop victories in the Canaan life. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist in the 1800s. God blessed his ministry in tremendous ways, and among other things, he helped to start the YMCA in Chicago, Young Men's Christian Association. Although the use of the facilities nowadays is different, the YMCA started as places for teaching and training women and men the Word of God. You know, D.L. Moody, on his second trip to England, visited an open-air crusade of another evangelist. This particular young evangelist was Henry Farley, an evangelist to the European countries at that time. Farley made a statement while he was preaching that struck the heart of D.L. Moody in that service. This is what Henry Farley said. The world has yet to see what God can do in, through, and with a man who is wholly committed to Christ. And D.L. Moody's response was, by the grace of God, I will be that man. I will be that man. God, friends, Caleb chose to go God's way even when everybody else wasn't. He didn't follow the crowd. He followed the Lord. And that's what we must do if we want to live a full life right until the end. Don't be swayed by what's happening in society and in the world. Follow God. Be obedient to Him. Trust Him, friends. Wholly follow the Lord. Wholeheartedly follow the Lord. The crowd may think you crazy, but God will honor you, friends, because you are wholeheartedly committed to Him. So follow the Lord fully. However, in order to do that, we need to have full faith. And that's my second point in the Lord. We need to trust God completely. Wholeheartedly depend on the Lord. And to do this, friends, just three little points I want to make. Firstly, trust in God's promise. Depend on God. Yes, some verses that talk about this. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses. This is Caleb talking to Joshua. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses. Verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Do you see that, friends? It's the word of God. Caleb had confidence, and his confidence was in the word of God. He knew God would honor and fulfill His promises. Caleb's battle axe was the word of God. Caleb conquered his mountains as he had, was promised by God through Moses. We too are challenged to know and trust the word of God. Caleb was committed to God. He had an unshakable confidence in His word. Caleb's confidence led to his courage. He wanted Mount Hebron, a beautiful place. But you know what? There were some enemies there, adversaries. There was no easy, lazy way to conquer the territory. He couldn't walk to the up to the Anakim and say, "Hey guys, I'm here to take over." and these big giant fellows say, "Well, buddy, we've been waiting for you." There's no easy way, friends. There's no lazy way to conquer the territory. We will never do a great work for God in a rocking chair. We must be determined to conquer our enemies, our challenges, and the mountains in the name of the Lord. Someone said, God's doors to the rooms of opportunity always swing on the hinges of opposition. Whatever we want to do as a church in this town for God, nobody's going to stand back and say, "Wow, we've been waiting, guys. What took you so long?" We're going to have opposition because the enemy hates what we're about to do. And what God wants to do. We have to go out and take the mountains. We have a responsibility in the sight of Almighty God. He had to overcome the giants. Caleb did. Verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. These Anakim are mentioned in Numbers chapter 14. Let's just go to back to Numbers 14:8. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land which flows with milk and honey, and will give it to us. And not only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land. Why? Because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Caleb said that we will devour them. Another version said they will be our prey. Another version said they are bread for us. They are our lunch. The Message paraphrase says, we'll have them for lunch already. Friends, through our adversity, through struggles that we have and challenges, our spiritual lives don't become weaker. They become stronger. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
If we never go through our struggles and our adversity, we will never mature as believers God has intended for us to be. Caleb said to Anakim, the Anakim, hey bread man. And you know what bread does? Makes you stronger. Bread strengthens us. Caleb said the giants were not a means to defeat us. They are a means to make us grow. Giants are food, the food of champions. When adversity and problems come, they are there to make us better and stronger and more mature in our walk with God. Caleb had to overcome the grasshoppers and the giants and the gray hair. And if that's what you want, friends, then you need to do the same. You need to trust God's promises for you. Depend on God's word. If you haven't done it already, I want to ask you today to put your trust in Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. Believe His promise for you, to you of eternal life. You know what 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says? For all the promises of God are yea and amen. Yes. To the glory of God by us. Then you can't help but follow Him fully and live a full life. If that's what you want, friends, trust the promise. And then secondly, quickly now, trust in God's power. Amen. You trust in God's promise, now trust in God's power. Depend on the Lord's strength, not your own. That's what Caleb did in verse 10, Joshua 14, verse 10. Caleb said, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, ever since the time the Lord spoke His word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, He says. Yeah, I am. This day, 85 years old. Verse 11 says, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then. Friends, the strength that Caleb is talking about comes from the Lord. Caleb wasn't going to the gym every morning working out. No, he's talking about the strength that comes from the Lord. reminds me a lot of what Paul said in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that lovely? Caleb depended on the Lord's strength, not his own. And that's what you and I must do if we want to live a life fully committed to the Lord. Trust in God's power. Depend on God's strength and not your own, friends. God doesn't want us to sit around and wait. We must attack that mountain. We must go head on into the challenges and the struggles that we face. We must take action. Reminds me of another fellow who faced giants later on. When Goliath came against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, man, he's so big, we can never kill him. And little David said, he's so big I can't miss. Friend, the day has dawned that we need to stop talking about our problems and our difficulties and our obstacles, and we need to keep our eyes on God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Stop looking at the giants. Oh man, those giants, eh? Stop looking at the fortified cities and these tall mountains. Let's look at God. He's given us the victory. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. John 14, 12 to 14, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Friends, let's trust God's promise. Let's trust in his power. And finally, let's trust in his presence. Depend on God's company with you, friends. That's what Caleb did. When he asked Joshua to give him the mountain where the giants live, he said in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Psalm 23 verse 4, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Hebrews 13 verse 5, and God himself has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So friends, as we come into this year 2023, friends, count on the presence of God with you when you face darkness and challenges and all kinds of giants in your life. To live a full life, follow the Lord wholeheartedly with faith in him. Like Caleb, friends, trust in God's promise, trust in God's power, and trust in God's presence. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads in prayer.